Welcome to Living as a Disciple podcast. We live in a post-Christian culture, so how can we be and make disciples of Jesus? Discover it with us as we talk, brainstorm, and show you ways to be a disciple that makes disciples in today's culture. With you today, your hosts, Randy Nelson and Micah Johnson.
Welcome to the very first Living as a Disciple podcast. I'm Randy Nelson, and I'm here alongside of Micah Johnson, and we are excited about being able to share with you the things that God has laid in our hearts about what it means to live as a disciple. Micah is the chairman of the AFLC Evangelism Discipleship Board, and I serve as the director. And so this is right in our wheelhouse. This is the area of where we have spent, I've been in this role for about 4.5 years now, but I've just been thinking about and looking at how do we engage our world today, and what does it mean to live as a disciple in a post-Christian world? Micah, I know that you growing up as a pastor's kid and having been involved in a lot of different ministries and church things, I know that this is near and dear to your heart as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Randy. It's something that we've chatted about for quite a long time now, especially being involved in the evangelism and discipleship department. But we wanted to do something like this podcast to really get it out to a broader audience. And I think just the vision that God has given us has been really exciting to get to this point. So I'm really excited to be alongside you and talking about this. As we dive into this living as a disciple, you've actually taken the initiative as the director to put together quite a bit of material on discipleship, specifically focused on the congregation. And you've been able to go to congregations and districts and be able to share what God's laid on your heart. Would you kind of tell us a little bit about the focus for this podcast, which is living as a disciple, as you've dove in and researched that topic and dug into God's word on that, what has God really been laying on your heart as you see the church in the state that it's in, our culture, different generations, kind of pulling that all together? What does that mean, living as a disciple?
You know, Micah, before coming into this role, I was a pastor in an AFLC congregations for over 25 years. And I thought, and I've always had a real passion for evangelism, and our churches were pretty active in that. But I have to admit, coming into this role as a director, it's a very different perspective looking at it from a global perspective, especially with COVID beginning right at the beginning of that time. And just becoming so much more aware of how divided our country is in a lot of different ways, and really how things have changed so much, even in just the time that I've served as a pastor, and how the culture has dramatically changed. And quite honestly, too, I guess I'm kind of thankful for the it was almost a little bit of a breather there with COVID beginning to allow me to spend time digging in and studying. Almost from the beginning, getting a new perspective on where we are today. And the reality is that because the culture has changed and the people we're called to minister to are very different than it was 30, 40 years ago, the way that we do that has to change as well, too. And probably the biggest thing that has stood out to me and that God laid on my heart was that whole idea of being a disciple. You know, so often we think about church, right? And it's all about, well, we got to get new members and we got to get new people to come and be a part of our ministry and do this and do that. But when we dig back and go back to the original Great Commission in Matthew 28, it's the call is to make disciples. That's the call, to go and make disciples of all nations, of all people groups. And disciple is an entirely different word than what we normally use. I think, you know, if you talk to most people in your church, they probably aren't going to say, are you a Christian or are you a disciple? Well, yeah, for sure I'm a Christian, but not very likely that I'm going to say I'm a disciple. And so, that carries a whole lot of different nuance to it. What does it mean to be a disciple? It appears in the scriptures 267 times, I believe, that reference to being a disciple. And it's all about being a follower of Jesus. It's about each and every day following him. And that's kind of what where we led into the idea of where to go with this podcast.
Do you think, I was preparing for a presentation and I kind of went back to the Great Commission and all the attributes that Jesus calls out there of go, make disciples, baptize, preach, teach. Something that really dawned on me is all of those are action words.
Mm.
None of those are just sit back in your church pew type words. It's, I've shown you a model. In fact, before that, Jesus himself said, all authority has been given to me. Now go.
Mm-hmm.
And he's passing on or extending that authority to his church.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are challenged or charged with all of this action of going and doing and being the body of Christ that functions the way God intended us to. Give us a little bit more context of how you've seen that play out, both within the church and outside of the church, like the action part of discipling. Like, where do you see us doing well with that? Where do you see us missing the mark with that?
Well, I think you're right, Mike. And I know you and I have talked about this in the past. As we look at historically some of the changes that have occurred in the church, how consumerism has played a big part of the model of our churches and how we go after people and how we also have become very comfortable with, we hire our pastors to do everything, the idea or staffing, we have professional holy people to fill out these roles. And that's not really what the body of Christ is supposed to be. That's not what's pictured, right, in Romans 12 and or in 1 Corinthians 12. And it's not the idea of how a body works together. And so that was another part of this too, is how do we move back to being a body, being where members are active, involved in their church, where we're using the spiritual gifts and talents that we have, that we're engaged in ministry at every level, from, maintaining the building to engaging the community through, different tools that we have in terms of, maybe skills in IT or other things, but also just loving our neighbor as ourself. And, that's really the thing that God laid on my heart, was probably the biggest thing in all of this has been the Great Commandment, the call for us to love God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And really, to me, that sums up what Jesus means when he talks about us being disciples, to love God and to love our neighbor. And those are clearly areas that we as a church need to return to. I know some of the things that we're working on for RTF, and I know you're one of the speakers. RTF is our Rekindle the Fire, for those who aren't familiar with it, and that's an event that's just coming up here just before annual conference. And the event is focused on engaging and encouraging and equipping our laity to be more involved in leadership, as well as being involved in our community and our congregations. And I know you're going to be speaking in one of those parts. What are you thinking about as you're preparing for sharing at this? What are some things that stand out to you in relation to that?
Now you're going to make me let the cat out of the bag.
Oh.
I'm going to tell people you have to come to it to hear about it. No, I'm just kidding. something that I think is foundational to this is the church understanding what it takes to go back to the basics of what God has called us to, what Christ has called us to. Having a clear mission as a congregation, understanding what it means to go and make disciples, to be the hands and feet of Christ, and understand the vision that God's calling you. Vision being the different ways that you're going to interact with your community and things like that. And that takes everybody. You know, you talk about the Great Commission of going and making disciples wasn't just a commission to pastors.
Mm.
That was a commission mm-hmm. to the entire congregation, at least from what I can see it in mm-hmm. Scripture.
Yeah.
That was for everybody. And yet, to your point, you talked about, you know, sometimes we tend to lean back on our pastors or our paid staff, our youth pastors, our worship leaders, whatever, and they get to drive the ship. But it does take an entire body of Christ. I was thinking of an analogy that kind of goes with this as it relates to discipling, and really discipling is the act of multiplication in the body of Christ. We haven't really touched on that too much yet, and I'm sure we'll dive into that more probably in podcasts to come, but discipling is coming alongside people. So you're a follower of Christ, and then you take what you've learned and you pass it on to somebody else,
yeah.
and you continue to multiply. And I was thinking how that all works together, and it reminded me of a story of I was visiting with a chiropractor friend of mine, and he was seeing a patient for, I think they had been in a car accident or something like that, and they were dealing with some back issues, neck issues, and so they came in for chiropractic care. Makes a whole lot of sense, right? Your body's out of whack. You go see a doctor for it. And chiropractic, if you know a little bit about chiropractic, it's all about realigning your spine so that your brain is functioning well and is telling the rest of your body how to properly heal and how to properly function. Well, come to find out, this patient that the chiropractor was seeing for, I think it was like six months into it, they never really sat down and talked about this whole idea of having your spine realigned and what that does to unblock certain receptors in your body and help your body heal. So they finally had that conversation, and the patient's jaw kind of hits the floor. He's like, you know, I never actually told you about this, but before I started coming to your office to get chiropractic care because of the car accident, I was also dealing with gut issues, and I was dealing with like eczema and rashes and, you know, other things that were happening in my body. And once my body was realigned, once it got back to the primary function of how it was supposed to function, that all cleared up. He's like, I didn't even know that that was a thing.
Mm. Mm.
And so I was thinking about this analogy and how it relates so much to, dare I say, our lack of seeing growth in the church, our lack of discipling. Maybe even we would say it's unhealthy congregations. Mm. Why is that? Because sometimes our bodies, the body of Christ, is not functioning the way that it's intended to. Mm. Not everybody is getting involved. It's very easy for somebody to say, oh yeah, I got, well, Randy, we talked about this. I have knee pain. You know,
mm-hmm.
Randy, you've been talking about some knee pain that you've been having. Or it's easy to just say, you know, I've had this arm pain or shoulder pain for a long time and not really getting back to what's causing it. We just go, oh, it's because mm-hmm. of old age or it's because of certain things. Once we get back to something that's healing for our body, we go back to a basic functionality like the analogy that I used with chiropractic mm-hmm. care. Once we allow the body to heal itself the way God intended it to, we can get on doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. Mm. Once the body of Christ comes back together and is united in doing the things that the body of Christ is intended to do, living out the mission that God's called us to, fulfilling the vision and the purpose that he's got us called to, we start functioning more like the body of Christ again. We start getting excited about making disciples again.
I can see that. That's a wonderful picture. And especially as we were thinking about, you know, the obviously, you know, unhealthy nature of not only our churches, but our people today. You know, today we're seeing suicide attempts, higher than ever before. We're better at keeping them from dying. We have a lot better trauma care and other things. But as far as attempted suicides, the level of frustration and disappointment and people seeking other things to fill their lives, people are hurting today. And I think that's a great picture of what you're saying. Is part of what happens, what's going on is we are missing what we're made to do. We're missing what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be not outliving our own life and chasing after all these other things, but rather following God, following Jesus, and in finding him and following him and allowing him to realign different parts and aspects of our lives, we're going to be healthier. We're going to see that too. But, and also our churches will be healthier too, right? You know, I guess that's something I can relate to too. You know, trying to get better health, trying to eat better. But nobody really wants to eat better, right? We all like to go to, you know, eat fast food and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, I guess when you get to my age, maybe that's, you begin to realize there's a cost to that. When you're doing things that aren't best for your body, you pay for it in other ways. And again, I think that's a great reason why, you know, as we talk about this being living as a disciple, our goal is to help people have richer, fuller lives in the relationship with Christ and with their family and with their congregation. And that it ends up being a real practical application of what it's like, because there's a lot of stuff on the air, a lot of things out there that tell us how, you know, if we do this, we'll be happy, or if we follow that, or we do these things. But really, there's not a lot that gives a real practical description and talks about, okay, this is what it's like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Here's some of the struggles that we have. Here's some of the things that are hard. Here's some of the things, though, that we can do that makes life better, as well along with the being connected with our congregation, being a part of a church family. I believe all those things are really not only key, but quite honestly, I believe that's God's heart and desire to bring about revival in our country. I really think that if believers, people who say they trust in Jesus Christ, would make that decision to move beyond just I'm attending church every once in a while, but to I'm actually going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust in him. I want to start every day thinking about what would God want me to do, and spending time with him and seeking after his kingdom. I think we would be amazed at how not only that would make us healthier, but also increase the vitality of our congregations.
And I think to put even more of a positive spin, we've been kind of talking a little bit about, you know, what we're not doing. There are people in our congregations that live this out very well.
Yeah.
That are go-getters. They take action. They want to be disciples for Christ. And those are the ones, and you'll usually, when you step into church, it doesn't take too long to notice those type of people. They want to come alongside people. They want to lead. They want to train other people to do things. And it's really exciting to see when that happens. It doesn't mean it's always the popular thing to do. And you had mentioned earlier on in this segment here about, you know, sometimes we just need to change the method of how we go about presenting the gospel to people. Which is somewhat true. You know, change the method, not the message. I've heard that before. One of the things that I am bringing out in the presentation for Rekindle the Fire is not so much changing the method, but really changing our method. Sometimes it's just we've realigned ourselves with the mission and the vision that God has called us to, and it's caused us to rethink our approach. So it's almost more like, I want to say it's more like going back to the basics and saying, all right, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to put my time into? Rather than saying, hey, guys, I got this really cool out-of-the-box idea. Let's throw all of our time and effort and money into this. But rather, you know what? I've been going back to what our mission and our vision of our church is, and I believe God's calling us to do X, you know, whatever that may be. it's really a realignment with what God's will is, and not so much of a, oh, I just need to think out of the box type methodology. I think that's where people start to latch on and go, you know what? That's right. We've kind of drifted from the mission or the purpose that God's called us to, and reels us back in.
No, I think you're onto something there. And I don't mean to say for sure that I have it all together or figured it out. In fact, I would probably say that, in the last few years, it's been a realignment for me too. Coming back to, I mentioned before, God laying the great commandment on my heart is what it means to be a follower of Christ, loving God with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind and all of my strength. And I'm hoping maybe somewhere down the road in these podcasts, we might have a chance to dig into that a little bit, because that is so rich. We begin to realize how much God has for us. And that is, it's not law. It's an invitation. It's gospel to know how much and how deep and how wide and how great is his love for us, his using our intellect to begin to grasp just how amazing he is, all these different aspects of who we are. But then also calling us to love our neighbors ourselves, and not just from an evangelistic point of trying to reach them or to win them to Christ, but really it's part of that is teaching us that it's not all about us, that loving God is loving our neighbor and caring about them. And so much of our world tells us today, right, that it's about making myself happy and being, you know, meeting every need and desire and thing that I want to do, when really where we find real joy and fulfillment is serving others and helping others. And you're right, we see people in our congregations who catch that and have that. And model that. And again, yeah, I didn't mean to make it sound like our churches are bad, but I just could just imagine if we all had could see that vision and desire in our lives and living that out and finding all that God wants for us.
Yeah, and I think you just mentioned, you kind of made a passing comment of, you know, well, I don't always feel like I have it figured all out either, but I think that's a good thing. Because actually, looking back at Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, there's kind of two bookends there to what Jesus did at that point. So it says in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him. And then this part that always gets me, but some doubted. So they had just seen the crucified Savior risen again. He's before them. They had just spent a bunch of time with him. And yet some of them still doubted. And right after that, Jesus goes on to say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded. But here's the other end of the bookend. So some doubted. Jesus gives this commission. And then he says, surely I'm with you. To the end of the age.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we forget that in when it comes to the actionable going, because we think we have to have it all together. We say, well, if I'm going to go disciple somebody, if I'm going to go lead them in their walk with Christ, or even let's take evangelism. If I'm going to go evangelize to somebody, I need to have all of my ducks in a row. I need to know what's going on.
Right. Right.
Even the disciples here, according to scripture, didn't have all their ducks in a row.
Nope.
They were still doubting what in the world was going on.
Yes.
And yet Jesus said, but you're my followers. You're going to take this forward. Oh, and by the way, for those times that you feel really inadequate and that you don't have the skill set or the knowledge or you don't know how to answer the question, I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to be with you to the very end. I've heard so many people that have kind of fallen into the path of complacency because they don't feel like they have it all together. And one thing I think with discipleship is, one, we have to have that humble attitude, knowing that we don't have it all together. And two, which I always think is exciting, not everybody thinks this is exciting, but I think it's exciting that as I'm helping disciple somebody, I'm also learning and growing myself. I mean, Randy, you as a pastor probably know this firsthand, as you're diving into scripture, whether it's preparing these workshops you prepared or you're preparing a message for Sunday morning, like I've prepared messages before, I'm getting preached to by myself just as much as I'm preaching to a congregation. You actually learn more in the process of trying to lead other people than you probably do if you're just sitting there.
Absolutely.
And that's powerful, I think, when it comes to that full, like bringing it full circle as far as what does it mean to live like a disciple is we kind of have to go into it a little bit with a reckless abandon, I guess, and just trust that God's going to lead us to the right people. He's going to give us the words to say, and we need to be okay with the fact that we don't know the answer sometimes. So you know what? I don't know. I'm going to have to go find that out. Or in that moment, hey, let's dive into scripture and look for the answer together.
And that's another great part of what I'm hoping we can encourage through this podcast is just what you said, the idea that we don't know it all. I was a pastor for 25 years. And that one of the probably the best things I learned along the way was to be able to say, you know, I don't know. I know where to find the answer. I know how to look in scripture. But to think and act like we know it all is wrong. And it's all about the journey, I think. And that's kind of what we're wanting to encourage is we're all works in progress, and there is great opportunity for us to continue to grow together, encouraging one another, bearing one another's burdens along the way, and sharing the things that we learn as we go. And that's, you know, all parts of this. And, you know, and I really appreciate you emphasizing from, the end there from Matthew 28, behold, or lo, I am with you always, that assurance that God is with us. He says, make disciples, but understand I'm the one that's doing it. And that's a really key part of what we need to know is we can't save anybody. We don't have the power to, you know, it's not by our great wisdom or how articulate we are or anything that we convince somebody. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. He alone can to bring us to that place, not only of seeing our need, but also empowering us to believe and to believe that God is who he says he is and to trust in him. And the great part too, as we talk about that he's with us always, is that just this disciple-making thing, this is a lifelong journey. And Jesus is the one who's doing the job. And as we are going, we are all continuing works in progress. I guess one thing, you know, I know I've told you I recently turned 60 and I'm not doing great with it. I don't feel like I'm 60. That's a terrible number. It seems like a really big number. And probably the biggest reason is because I'm thinking, gosh, I should be smarter than this, but and certainly more mature than I am. But you know what? Nowhere along the line is God gone, man, I'm really disappointed in you, Randy. Or, you know, I really think you should be smarter than this by now. We each are right where God has called us and placed us to be. He is currently working in our lives right where we are with the church that we're in and the situation we're in, with the pastor that we have, or maybe even in the situation where I don't have a spiritual life right now. Maybe I'm far from God. We can be assured that he's chasing us. He's at work in us. And there are people that he is putting in our lives to help us grow. And, you know, again, I hope that one of the goals of the podcast will be to encourage people to think of themselves as a disciple in process. And that as we go along our lives, that we are growing into more and more like Jesus' image.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think kind of on that lines, I was thinking of, you know, living as a disciple in different, stages of life, different seasons of life is maybe a better way of putting that. Because there are some people that say, you know, I just don't have the time to get a small group of guys together or get a small group of women together to help disciple them. And I do want to encourage people even in that, because if you feel like God's calling you to take action in a discipleship way that you haven't been doing before, maybe it's something as simple as family devotions,
mm.
you know, especially yeah. speaking to fathers that might be listening. That is an actionable, legitimate discipleship act in yes. your house that will have a great impact on your family, on your kids, on your marriage. And that's really where it starts.
Mm,
you know, absolutely. We model that in the home. I would almost go as far as saying we have to start modeling that in the home before we can even model it in the church.
Yeah.
If we're not modeling it in our own home, it's really hard to model it in the church without just making it a fabricated act.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we sometimes make it a lot harder than it needs to be, right? And maybe it's because we use these big words like discipleship. That you know, that sounds like a, you know, type Harvard type of word kind of thing. And it's, you know, it includes a lot of books and stuff. When really living as a disciple really is just following Jesus every day and, you know, spending time in his word. We have the wonderful gift of God's word that is alive and active. Anyone and everyone can open up the word of God, and because it is empowered by the Holy Spirit, it will speak to you right where you are. And, you know, as like you said, even as dads or moms, kids, anyone can look to God's word and study it with somebody. That's having devotions. That's talking about it and asking God, what does this say? And understanding it and then figuring out what it means, but what is God speaking to me about through it? And how does this speak to my life? Because, you know, I'm thinking of the theme for this year's annual conference, you know, comes from Isaiah 55 and talks about how the word of God does not return void. If we spend time with God's word, if we share that with our spouse, if we teach to our children, those are all things that have an impact that bring God into their life. And, you know, we haven't really even touched on yet the reality of the fact that we live in a fallen world, that we live in a culture that is hostile to Jesus and to the spiritual things that we believe, to the kingdom that he has come to bring. And so it really does fall on us to, as parents, to raise up our families, and as family members to be parts of our congregation that help grow and build them into the body of Christ that God wants us to be, and the impact we can have in our community because they see Jesus living in us.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Randy, talking about how discipleship is really impactful in all areas of life, our family life, our work life, our church life, life in the community, and living as a disciple in the likeness of God or in the likeness of Christ, just how important that is. You know, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about culture and things like that in podcasts to come. And as we're talking about all these different aspects of where we can be disciples for Christ, it kind of reminded me of how, you know, we seem to be a culture that's in bondage to many things.
Mm.
You know, we're in bondage to our phones. We always need to be strapped to our phones. We need to watch the next TV show. You know, just so many things. And then we talk about, you know, mental health issues and things like that. You had brought that up a little bit earlier in the podcast. But one thing that I think is really exciting, if we're looking at the greater culture outside of the church, is we live in a time where I believe more than ever people are hungry to understand truth.
Yeah.
They want to know what truth is. In fact, some of the younger generations, that's what they thrive on. They're like, don't give me all this fluff and garbage. Mm. Like, I want to know the truth.
Yeah.
And yet, when we bring it full circle, scripture talks about that in relation to discipleship. John 8:31-32 says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.
Mm.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I think that's something that hopefully we can continue to unpack in these podcasts to come, that by truly discipling people, it helps them know the truth, and the truth will set them free. It gives us true freedom in knowing the truth of God's word. So I don't know if you want to put any closing thoughts on that, Randy, as we close this session.
No, that's great. That, you know, I love that. And I'm excited, you know, just even as we've gone through this, man, the time has gone by so fast. And I know it seems like we've covered a lot of different things, even just as we've been talking here. All I can think of is additional new topics and things we want to cover in this broadcast, in this podcast in the days ahead. But hopefully for those of you who are listening, this got you a little bit of an idea of where we want to go with this. The idea that we want this to be very practical, but really applicable to our lives, where it is today and in the world that we're facing today. And that living as a disciple is really not only a challenge, but it's an exciting thing to do. And God wants to do amazing things. And I absolutely agree with you, Micah, that I really believe that this world could very well be right on the edge of revival because of that desire for truth. And then they want to see believers living a life that reflects what we say we believe. And living as a disciple is really a big, big part of that. You know, as we do close, you know, interesting this afternoon, just this came to me. I was reminded, you know, as a kid, I remember reading a story. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It is In His Steps. It was written by Charles Sheldon, and he was a pastor like in 1896 in Kansas. Was a pastor of a church, but it really a famous book because in it he took the challenge from 1 Peter to following in Jesus' steps, and he challenged his people and his congregation to think about what would Jesus do in your everyday life. Each week he would tell us another story of a different member of his congregation and how that decision of what would Jesus do? How would I live my life, whether I'm a banker or a lumberyard owner or whatever, a housewife, how does that change the way I decide? And, you know, I think that's a great picture of what we're hoping to accomplish here as well, too, that we too would be encouraged to know that, yeah, our salvation, for those of us who are trusting in Christ and know Him as Savior, we can know that, yes, we're headed for heaven, but there's a life for us to live right now and to be used by Him for this kingdom, for right now, to reach the people that are perishing around us. And we hope that this podcast will be all about that. Well, as we close, I really wanted us to just close in prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much just for the gospel and the good news that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you that by placing our faith and trust in you, we can know for sure that we will live forever. But also, Lord, you have called us to be more than just hanging out and waiting for heaven, but rather you've invited us to be disciples, to follow in your steps, and to live with you and walk with you each and every day through the power of your word and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, our prayer is that for each one listening and for each of us, Lord, that would be our desire. And we pray as well for this podcast that today and in episodes to come, each and every time, Lord, our goal would be to lift you up and to follow as your disciples. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.